Welcome to the next person who just called in. This is the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Eric from Los Angeles.
Good evening. Welcome to the call, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, as always.
All right. Now, David in Maryland.
Yes.
Just,
are we going to have the console or not?
Don't go to the other room right now.
We've been down this road, and it's always...
Don't go to the other room.
Finally ended.
What if I have a note from my mother? Is that all right? Please excuse David.
Yeah, we're going to go have a private conversation.
Well, I see on Wynn's email, the topic for tonight is going to be unconditional love.
Okay. I hadn't seen the email. It only just came in, I guess, then, huh?
Yeah, mine says 7:05 he sent it. That's pretty early for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Sleepwalking.
Yeah, so we'll see if he keeps the topic.
Yeah.
Or if it'll be a surprise.
Yeah. You haven't had Carla for a while, right? Carla Rickard? I think it's her turn about right now.
Oh, is that? Oh, that would be great.
Well, I guess
it has been a while.
He would have announced that, if so.
Oh, okay. No, he doesn't say that in the email.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Janice from Nevada.
Hello, Janice. Good evening to you. How are you doing?
Could be better.
Could
are
be better.
Are you skateboarding?
You will be better, sweetheart.
You will.
And I think you're Skyping, right, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome. And we had more people join in. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Barbara from San Mateo, California.
Hello, Barbara. How are you tonight?
I'm just great. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
And we had another person come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everyone. This is Jerry from Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good. Very good.
Thank you for being here, man.
I hear Daphne's music.
Okay, this may be at the BBS then, huh?
Right.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Dwayne out of Seattle.
Hey, Dwayne. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, you know.
No, I don't.
He has to be here.
It's a duty, huh?
Yep.
The coffee is good. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Phil in New Orleans.
Hello, Phil. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thanks
hi,
for
Phil.
Hi, hi.
That's Barbara.
Just doing a BBS.
Are those beeps people checking in, Ice, or is that something else?
That is correct. The beeps are people checking in.
I'm just going to check a sound, see what you think. This is kind of crazy. But here goes.
Duck, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear this?
All right. How are the vegetables coming along?
Anybody hear that? Could
no.
you hear that? Could you?
No.
Could you? You couldn't hear that. Okay. Let me just try that again.
Are you going to play some of Daphne her music?
Yeah, I'm trying this hook that was created for us, and I just want to see how it sounds. So.
All right.
Tell me if you can hear it. If you can't, I'm kind.
Okay.
I'd be kind of alarmed. Okay. Here goes.
I don't think this is Daphne, is it? Sounds more like Hillbilly.
So you heard it. You got it.
Daphne.
You got it. Good. Yes.
We had another person join the line. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Valerie in Westport, Massachusetts.
All right. Hello, Valerie. The family's complete. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, thanks. Great to be here.
All right. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Phil.
glad you could make it.
Are we supposed to be able to hear background music?
Yes, you are supposed to be able to hear background music.
But I don't hear it, Doc.
You don't? Can you hear it now?
No.
Tell me when you can hear it.
There it is.
Here we go.
Oh, this is a little different instrument than the instrument for Station 1. It's a little bit more, I got to put it up a lot more. Thank you for letting me know.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot better than the music on call waiting to get in.
Yeah.
That harp has got to be hard to play.
We can barely hear it here on the conference call, but I think it'll be good on BBS, right? All right.
Gabriel from Georgia.
Who is this from Georgia?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, welcome to the call, man. How you doing?
Thank you. Very good.
A radio show. What a voice.
Yes,
thank
Larry.
You.
Wisconsin, right, Larry?
Yes, northeastern Wisconsin.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
This is Jeannie in Sacramento.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
My name is Fran. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Fran. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
We have another person join us. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy, Michigan.
Hello, Nancy. Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Lovely music in the background. Yeah, thank you for being here, too.
Yeah.
It is. It's an angelic electronic harp. Cool.
This is Greg from Texas.
Hello, Greg. Welcome to the call. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Anybody else join in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi, this is Chris in Anchorage.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Hi, Chris.
And I believe you're somebody else joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Lacey, Kalispell, Montana.
Hello. Is it Lacey?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Lacey. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the PBS call. Please say your name and location.
Joel from Chicago.
Hey, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Who's that, sorry?
From Florida.
From Florida? Who is from Florida?
Aloha. How are you today?
Aloha. Muy bueno. ¿Cómo estás? ¿Ustedes?
Bien. Gracias. ¿Y tú?
Excellent. Gracias. Good evening. Two people came in. This is the BBS call. Please say your name and location. And it was Philip coming back. Hi, Philip. Welcome back. Do I hear Lisa?
Hello.
Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Steve from Concord.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Sacramento.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, this is Patty from Houston.
Hi, Patty. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey, does Willow call anymore?
Repeat that question, please.
Does Willow call anymore?
Yes, Willow was here. There's the first one tonight.
I'm here. Who's Jay?
Yep, what's up, Willow?
Hi, Jay.
Hi.
And more people joined the call.
Hello.
Welcome to the BBS call, everybody. Please say your name and location if you have a chance.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hi, Ron. Good evening. How are you doing?
Pretty good. There's 42 on the line.
All right.
Leah in Florida.
43.
Welcome to the call of Florida.
Thank you.
It's amazing to watch it go from 40-45 to... 100 in a few months.
And more people have joined in. If you want to do so, please feel free to say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being
here. Hey, Jay, how is your nephew?
He's doing great. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
No.
Am I okay.
I'm okay.
Not the greatest, Wynn.
Not the greatest, right?
No. Maybe after we mute the line.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just hang on 1 second here.
Muted.
I just want to welcome everybody who's coming in on BBS Radio. We should be live on the air now. We're going to continue for just another couple of minutes of checking people in. This is a simulcast between our conference line and BBS. My name is Winfrey, and it's Terry on the line. Terry, are you there?
I haven't seen her yet, Win.
Okay.
Your sound is not so great.
You know what? I'm not on Skype right now.
Okay.
I forgot my number. I'll try to get on it.
When you're number one.
In the next moment. Okay? So I'm unmuting everybody. I'll be back in a minute.
Unmuted.
So welcome to all those people who just joined in. This is the BBS call, and please feel free to say your name and location.
This is Steve in McLean, Virginia.
Hi, Steve. Good evening.
Hello.
This is Sharon in Colorado.
Hello, Sharon. Welcome to the call.
Hello, this is Ray from Nevada.
Hey, Ray. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to use some of the lines. Don't feel... We have some background noise.
Hello.
Hello.
For those who have just joined in, welcome to the PBS call, and if you want to do so, feel free to say your name and location.
Oh, Michael. Waterloo, New York.
Hello, Michael. Waterloo, New York. Good evening. Welcome to the PBS call. Please say your name and location.
This is
Arizona. Hello. Welcome to the call. More people have joined in. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Jay, have you heard from Keith? How is Keith?
Actually, I haven't heard from Keith lately. With our prayers, he'll do pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Terry, sweetheart, how are you?
Hi,
Terry.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here again. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Almost ready. Almost ready.
Good evening, welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Alyssa, Florida.
Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I wonder if anyone in South Central Alaska would be interested in getting together for coffee somewhere.
Good evening, welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Colleen in Vancouver.
Yes. Hi, Colleen. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location. Yes. Welcome to the call.
Don't cross the call.
I forgot to write down the topic.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. The topic is unconditional love.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Flagstaff here?
I don't think so, no. He hasn't announced himself.
Hives, can you hear me okay?
Yes, good, Wim.
Is this good?
Yep.
Okay. Are you signed in on your cell phone or just on the console?
I'm on my home phone and on the console.
So you can mute the tones, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, we're ready to start this.
Doug, turn the music off.
Okay. Doug, turn the music off. Hello, Doug.
It's fading.
Good deal. All right. Let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. This is Win Free. Hi, Jeffrey. Can you turn those tones off, Hives?
I just did.
You did. Thank you.
Muted.
And this is our Monday night conference call, and I welcome all of you who are on the internet and all of you who are on the conference line. And this call has been going on for quite some time, and it suddenly have a lot more people since I was on George Norrie. So I'm very honored to welcome all our new guests, and some of you don't feel like guests anymore. You've been coming onto all our calls and checking it out. And what we do on these calls is fairly unusual. And if I tell you verbally, you're not going to understand it until you hang in on some calls and you get it on a cellular level. So I can tell you the theory is that starting in the year 2002, while I was in the middle of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I had this experience of a voice talking to me through two women. And if you haven't checked out the website, intelligent-infinity.com, it has a little intro video which tells the whole story. And it was engaging me to ask them questions. And they said they were the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and it said it was the name for God in the Old Testament. It was the name for God in the Book of Mormon. And that they were also the creators of the physical universe. And I asked them if they were the same, and they said they were part of the same. But they didn't ask me to defer to them. They didn't ask me to worship them or get on my knees. They said they were wanting me. Well, they didn't actually say they wanted me to do anything. They just said, ask them questions. And I said, why are you talking to me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out into the world, and you don't have ego about it. Well, whatever they said, it took me a few years to finally convince myself that they might be who they said they were. Not that I believed that they were, but they might be. And so I started experimenting with it. And I found out when I gave lectures, and I was giving lectures on the book I had written about David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, when I gave lectures, there was this light in the room that people could feel. Many people had never experienced anything like that before. I had experienced that. Years ago, I would go to different spiritual teachers, and sometimes I would experience this energy in the room. Well, now I was showing up, and the energy was in the room when I was there, and people would leave the room, and they could feel the energy. They walked up, and Terry was selling books, and they say, wow, I saw light. I could see auras. And at the time, I was not even talking about my personal experience. I was just talking about the book. And I was going to a series of talks all over California at something called the Holistic Living Expo. And the fellow that was the producer of that kind of liked me and said, anytime you want to, come give a talk. And I didn't make any money. We sold some books, and if I sold books or we did something, I was lucky if it paid enough for the motel. And sometimes it didn't, and sometimes I slept in my car. But I was learning how to do this. His name is Dean Price, and I give him a lot of credit for having me, giving me that carte blanche to talk at his expos. Well, eventually I started talking about my own experience. It took me a few months, but I said, while I was writing the book, this is what happened to me, and I wasn't sure how people would respond. If you can imagine, it was almost like embarrassing, because here I had written a very controversial book to begin with, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that was really pushing me over the edge to even go out publicly and talk about that. And suddenly the guy who wrote the book is having his friend, his personal relationship, say, excuse me, they want to talk to you again. And this voice starts talking to me that says they created the physical universe. And I was not anxious to say that. I was like, no one is going to believe this, and I'm going to sound like I'm a wannabe. But I did talk about it, and people did listen to it. In fact, some people from those original calls, which were in 2002, are still on this conference line. So I asked them at one point, if I do a conference call, could people sense that energy on a conference call? And they said that was possible. So I started doing some conference calls, and mostly it was me talking. We weren't channeling. Sometimes I would play an audio of a channeling. Sometimes I would read a channeling. But there was never any live channeling until one day in, I believe, 2006, when Daphne, who was living in Cape Cod at the time, who was very skeptical of all of this, but I invited her, you should hear these conference calls. And we had maybe 8, 10 people coming on the call, and all of them had their lives changed in a certain way. So I said, you know, the work we started was really important. And so she came on one of the calls, and in the middle of the call, she said, they want to say something. And so at that time, it was a little nervous having a live discussion with them on a call. And the reason it was nervous, from my point of view, is I had already come to the understanding that with channeling, it was possible for a channeled source to be negative. And in fact, at any time, a negative source had the potential to take over the line. So when you do something publicly, you can never take it back. You put it out, and if a negative source comes in, it's a done deal. They're there. Now I can say something afterwards and said, pay attention to that, and I would, and I have. But in general, I don't believe we've had negative sources on this line. And it's interesting. Sometimes I get emails from people that say, listen, I am talking to source, and they say what you're doing is not right. Or, I am talking to divine source, or I am talking to the Elohim, and they say this. And it's like, when I read those emails, I realize that those people who write those emails, and maybe you're listening tonight, you might think about this if you're listening, those people who write those emails are giving up their power of discernment and believing everything that the voice tells them, which automatically flags them as having the potential for having negative sources. And that's something that you guys should pay very close attention to as you're out in the world trying to scrutinize things, because anyone that says, believe what I say blindly, I am talking to God, I am talking to Jesus, I wouldn't discount the possibility that they are. I wouldn't discount it. But go on and review it based on the information and how you use that information to change your life. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter who's talking, if you can't use it, if you can't get some kind of experience, If you can't get a direct upliftment of energy, it's not worth paying attention to. And I tell that to people, to use that criteria just on the stuff that we bring forth on this call. And Terry, are you sitting still?
Yes, I am.
Do you hear that background noise coming in? Is that not you?
That might be Jim in the kitchen. Could you ask him
to sit still, okay?
Okay. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Well, don't forget to unmute yourself, all right?
Okay. All right.
All right. At the proper time. So in any case, that's a very important criteria. And as soon as somebody sends me an email and says, you can't be doing this because my source says this, that's automatically suspect to me. Now, that doesn't, maybe they're right. Maybe I've got it all wrong. But nonetheless, I like the idea of a source that says, let us prove ourselves to you by the way we make you feel, by the wisdom we bring. And not one that says, I am this exalted being and follow what I say. Because there's almost a predisposition to give up your power when you hear certain names. And it's like, I don't believe those sources, even those names, want you to give up your power. Now, I know that some of the stuff we bring through is very awesome. It's even awesome for me. It is awesome for me. Not even awesome. It is awesome. But I am just like you. I'm an observer as well as a facilitator here. And I say, wow, did that just happen? Look at that. And I feel the energies, and I'm amazed. If you have not come into one of our Sunday gradings, I really suggest you do. If you resonate with our other calls, because the Sunday grid healings are dedicated to bringing the energy in. They're dedicated to help people on the line feel the energies to create a group energy. Now, why do you want to feel the energies? What's the advantage of feeling the energies? Well, basically, there's two main advantages, at least two. One of them is, when you start feeling the energies of the higher dimensions, since all is one, you're only feeling an expanded part of yourself, and you start to get used to living in an expanded energy field. That's the potential. And that means that you bring more synchronicities into your life. You help lift the people around you. Another advantage of feeling the energies is that we can create group intentions. We can create a combining of all the energies of everyone on the phone. Now, we don't just say it. Sometimes we'll have some of the people that are on the call say what they feel because people experience it. And people that are more psychically sensitive really experience it. Some people experience it as a slight upliftment. Some people experience it as a tingling. And some people like are on the ceiling. They're flying, and they say, wow. And everyone experiences it differently, including me and including Terry, because we're not creating this experience. We're part of the experience. The experience is being created by everybody on the line and the sources we're talking to. They're not creating the experience. They're combining with our experience. And when that happens, there's a magic that's incredible. And all of you have experienced that magic in the physical 3D realm, or I say most of you. For example, if you go to a really inspiring music concert or a inspiring movie, there's an energy that comes into the theater and that everyone feels that energy. And when the concert or the movie is over, you walk out, when people are looking at each other, they had an experience of oneness because they sat through the energy of that movie. Well, they may not have experienced the energy of the Elohim, but they certainly experienced the energy of oneness. And it's only a slight bit of adjustment to turn that human experience of oneness into a celestial experience of oneness. And then you have something new to identify. because it's not a normal experience. And so you have to have the experience. And it's because of this experience, I would guess, that in other times, these guys were thought of as God, because they could have that experience and they could participate in group intentions, and that because they were participating, something could shift in the physical. Now, everyone on this line is in a body, and there is no way you have to integrate this. You're not leaving your body. You're not going to walk around floating around. I don't. Terry comes close to it sometimes, but even she doesn't. And we all have our human, what's called human distortions. And last week, we had the topic of worthiness. And if you didn't listen to that call, I'd go back in our archives and listen to it or read the transcript, because it is an issue that everyone grapples with. Why is it that we don't feel worthy? Why is it that we don't have self-love? Now, of course, we've all gone to the New Age talks that say you've got to love yourself. Well, why is that so hard to do? Why is self-love such a challenge? And one of the reasons that came up, and this is important, is that there are negative forces in this realm on our planet that have been involved with it for millenniums that would like us to be slaves. And some of you who are studying alternative stuff or listen to George Norrie are very aware of all of that stuff. And I've come to realize that a large part of it is true, is accurate. But even that, it's hard to figure out exactly what's so, and I've done a lot of research to try to understand it, but nonetheless, I do believe that there are negative forces that want to control this planet, and by creating kind of a hypnosis that makes you feel unworthy, you're easier to control. So if you start to look at that, you realize your unworthiness is not you. It's been programmed. How do they program unworthiness? Well, I'll give you a simple, everyone knows this example. On the media, on advertising, when they show a very sexy person, very handsome person being very desirable, and if you don't happen to match up to those standards, you think you're undesirable. So if you're undesirable, you're not worthy. Of course, if you buy a certain brand name clothes and you wear that brand, you're suddenly more desirable. If you have the right car, then everyone stares at you and says, wow, I wish I was him. Now you're more desirable. Well, has this fixed your unworthiness? No. And most people never even get to have those things. And if they do get them, they just go on another trip being egotistical, condescending, and they're not very attractive people if that's all they're going for. Well, tonight I brought up the topic of unconditional love. And I don't know if all of you have heard that term, unconditional love. And I think when you hear terms like this, your mind interprets it that in such a way as to think, I have to be nice, or I have to love everybody, or I have to wear my heart on my sleeve. Now, I don't believe that is what unconditional love is, not even close. Unconditional love is where there's something called chakras in your body. Chakras, C-H-A-K-R-A-S. And that is an Indian word, Hindu word, where it talks about energy centers. And there's seven energy centers. And each one is a potential connection to the universe, light energy running through your body. And it goes from what's called your root chakra to your crown chakra. Your crown chakra is at the top of your head, and your root chakra is at the base of your spine. And if we went through all seven, we have the root chakra, we have the sexual chakra, the second chakra, the power chakra, the solar plexus, the heart chakra, which is the chest, the heart, that's the fourth chakra, the fifth chakra, sometimes it's called the wisdom chakra in your throat. The sixth chakra is your third eye, you know, right in between, above your nose, in between your eyes and your forehead, which relates to psychic awareness, remote viewing, visions. And the seventh chakra is at the top of your head. It's called the crown chakra. And if you look that up and look up crown chakra, you'll find sometimes it is the gateway to intelligent infinity. And as each of those chakras opens up in a person, and each of those chakras opens up, you start radiating an energy into the world that starts from that chakra. So people can feel it. Some people, most people can feel it. So, for example, if all you have is your second chakra, people are going to feel that energy. If all you have is your third chakra, you're going to look bossy and unapproachable, like you're going to boss everyone around. If you have your fourth chakra open, you're generating a space that when people around you that are open to it, this doesn't inflict on other people. Somebody has to be open to the receiving of those energies. And they don't even have to agree to it consciously. They just are. The fourth chakra is the heart chakra, which is what generates loving energy into a space. So when you look at people that are generating loving energy, then they are generating unconditional love. Why is it called unconditional love? It's because it radiates to a space, and you don't have to try to aim it, to point it, to be nice. It's just there. I remember one yoga teacher, Swami Satchidananda, who I used to go to his talks years and years ago, used to say, love is like the sun. It doesn't decide who it's going to shine on. It radiates into the space, and everyone who's in the space can feel it, that wants to. And, of course, even if you're in the sun, you have the option of pulling covers over you, and that's your free choice, and you won't feel the sun. So unconditional love is radiating into a space. Now, when you do that, suddenly people will be attracted to you that used to reject you. How you people will respond to you is different. Now you have to learn how to work with that. If you try to be nice to everyone who responds to that unconditional love, very quickly you will get burnt because people will take advantage of you. So we often talk on Sunday. On Sunday, we work on opening these energies. I've had amazing emails from people who have been on our Sunday calls who have had huge breakthroughs in releasing energies in their body on the call. And again, if you don't experience it yourself, you won't believe it. And since it's a free call, this is your chance to tune into it, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And so, how do you open up your fourth chakra? Well, you can look at yourself and say, oh my God, my fourth chakra is not open. It's not open. What am I going to do? I'm not going to graduate this role. And you can go into fear, and you can do all kinds of stuff, and you're making it worse at that point. You're not making it better. One of the reasons I decided to do three calls a week is because I felt that if I was going to tell people this whole thing about graduating this realm and then just says, see you later, it's kind of scary. Well, I want to graduate. How do I graduate? How do I get my fourth chakra open? So we started doing these calls. When I learned that people could feel the energy on the call, and we didn't start doing three calls a week. We started doing one call a week. And quite frankly, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm still not sure I know what I'm doing. In fact, I'm working this as I go. I'm trying to figure out, how do you do this? How do you work it? Suddenly I get all these people sending me emails. How do I fix everybody? Well, I can't fix everybody. In fact, I can't fix anybody. That's an illusion. But I can set a reference point on these calls. So the energy on this call is something that if you keep attending, it starts to shift your energy. Or you start to shift your energy. Because you can't do this out of willpower. It just starts to shift. So the first thing is to be curious. Think if there's something there. And the second thing is to pay attention and see if anything happens. And see if Wynn is correct in what he says. But one thing I do notice is that some people make up their minds too quickly and they miss the opportunity, because we all come into this realm, almost all of us, with many, 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 many lifetimes of being contracted. And then you come on a phone call and people make all these promises. I don't make promises. I'm just telling my story. But even hearing the story, the Elohim is on this call. Guys, you're making a lot of background noise. I'm muting you. Okay. The Elohim is on this call, and they're big guys. They created the universe. And the Ra group is on this call. They're big guys. So let me go and have an epiphany experience. And you go with that expectation, and occasionally somebody has it. Occasionally they do. But you have to realize that you have spent huge amounts of lifetimes contracted, and that this uncontraction process takes time, and you have to do it. We give you energetic support. We give you a point of view of how things work for you to consider. We give you opportunity to ask questions to these sources about your issues. But ultimately, you are the one who's going to make the change. And how do you make the change? This one of the things is that I've learned is that because of what we're providing on these calls, the easiest way to make the change is to show up. To show up and listen and keep showing up. And we're like a new network. You're not watching TV. You're not watching the news. You're not being programmed by all those things. We're setting another standard of energy. And I point this out many times. You know, I've been talking since the beginning of the call, and there hasn't been a moment where you haven't heard my voice. But the interesting thing is, as soon as I stop talking, there's energy. I'm talking on top of that energy. And that energy, in the space of that energy, is where the other dimensions lie. It's where these sources exist. Now, another way of looking at it, looking at that energy, and I point this out, is that time moves at a different speed. Like, you know how when you're listening to something and you get restless, you say, when is this going to end? Maybe some of you are feeling like that when you're listening to me, and that's okay. But I would bet most of you are not. Now, it's not because of what I'm saying. It's because that on these calls, I believe we're setting down an example of time moving at a different speed. And when we look at other dimensions, it's hard to exactly visualize what another dimension is. You know, you can think of science fiction and time warps and people walking through machines where they go into the future or they get teleported to somewhere else. What I have come to understand, and I've asked this question, one way of looking at other dimensions is to zone where time moves at a different speed than this zone. This is called 3D. And if you have a clock here, it moves at a certain speed. And yet, even in 3D, everyone is experiencing time differently. Some experience it faster, some experience it slower. What makes time move faster? Having a good time. Having great time with someone you're with. Having beautiful intimacy. And I'm going to suggest that being on this call starts the process of making time move faster. Now, on the illusion of this call, it looks like I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it. I'm just showing up. You're not doing it. It's just happening. There's an alchemy of connection that moves through this call that changes how time feels. And when I stop talking, you can feel the space. If we were wanting to do it, I could stop talking for 5 minutes. Many of you could hold that silent space for quite some time without getting restless, without thinking, when is he going to start again? And as time stops, we start getting access to other realms. You know, if you live with someone, try that. Try it with them. Say, let's just, we use that calling in of the light as a physical way to just say, let's gather in the space of higher energies. And try calling in the light with someone. Or if that feels uncomfortable, say, let's be silent together and feel the energy. Shut your eyes and send unconscious love to that person. And when you start doing that, you start tuning in to unconditional love. It starts to radiate. I would guess that many of you listening right now are feeling unconditional love. And, you know, this is my learning. It blows my mind that we can be on the internet, we can be reaching people all over the world, and I'm sitting here, and I don't feel special. I really don't. I mean, I acknowledge what I'm doing, and I see this is a rare thing to do. And yet, I'm sitting here, and we're connecting our loving energies with each other. And as you learn to do that here, you'll learn to do it elsewhere. You'll learn to do it when you go out, when you sit in a restaurant. You'll learn that there's the silence everywhere. And you can walk in the silence and radiate out from the silence And you are now in the experience of unconditional love. No conditions. No conditions. Just present. You don't have to wear your heart on your sleeve. You don't have to be nice. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be nice. You should be nice when it's appropriate. It's not always appropriate to be nice because people take advantage of you. But you don't have to be nice to radiate unconditional love. You can go and experiment and sit down on a park bench and say, okay, I want to bless this spot. I would like to radiate unconditional love here. I ask the higher sources to work through me and help me, and I'm going to rebroadcast that energy into the space. Now, try saying that and seeing if something shifts inside of you. See if it shifts. You know, we recently tried something new, and whenever I try something new, I say it's an experiment. And believe me, I resist these experiments. I say, what if this doesn't work? Everyone's going to say it doesn't work. But so many people that are coming into our calls are having issues. They're sick. They're going broke. Their mortgages are up, and they email me, and they think I can fix it for them. And I can't. I'm just human like you. But what fixes this is the group energy of support. So I started a healing list, and I figured out how to do this so it's automated. So that's one of the things that is a problem, is we're doing so much stuff for free, and every time I do something, it takes a certain amount of maintenance. And I've run out of my maintenance time, and thank God I would have run out of it a long time ago if I didn't have probably 10 people who are volunteering right now, who are doing some of the maintenance aspects of things, everything from transcribing to helping to send the emails out to answering people who didn't get the book, the Creator God book, when they somehow they didn't download it properly, they lost the link. And, I mean, all these people are working for free. And this has to, if this is going to reach a lot of people, it has to create enough foundation so that it can support itself. And that I'm not, you know, people are working in the evenings, they have jobs, a couple of people are lucky enough to have independent incomes, and somehow we have brought it by the seat of our pants to the point we're at now. And quite frankly, when I had that moment to be on George Norrie, when they asked me, you know, exactly what happened was, I have been calling them for 10 years, ever since my book came out. And I was on one time when the book came out, one time, to talk about the book. And I never talked about my own experience, and David Wilcock was on with me. It's probably somewhere on some archive on Coast to Coast. And then I happened to call the producer about 2.5 months ago, because I had just put up my website, and I had sent it to her, and I wanted to see if she had looked at the website, and she hadn't. But I said, please look at it. I think she looked at it while she was talking to me. And, you know, it was not easy to put up that website. It was like, I like being anonymous. And suddenly, I'm telling this story, and what are people going to think? Am I going to have a lot of religious people slamming me? And, you know, am I going to be broadcast on blogs everywhere? But I put it up anyway. I said, I got to do something and put this out. And I called her. She looked at it. She talked to me for 2 hours. And she said, I think I'll put you on. I'll call you back. And then she said, okay, there's an hour tonight. Do you want to be on? And I almost said, no, I'm not ready. It was scary. But luckily, I didn't say no, and I did it. And, of course, a month later, I was on again for 3 hours. And all of you people who are on this, many of you people who are on this call are here because she said yes. And you're here because I called her on that day. and that I talked to her, and I was strong when I talked to her, and that I had all this practice. I had practice sleeping in my car, going to expos, learning how to talk about this, because I didn't know how to do it. And I had to train myself. I had to see how people would respond, and here we are. So I've been talking about unconditional love, and I hope you guys understand the difference. You know, there's something called tribal love, and tribal love is loving your family, loving your children, loving your religious group, loving a limited group, going into that group when you feel a certain comfort in that group, and you feel a sense of love in that group. And that is love, and that is an open heart, but it is not unconditional love. Unconditional love is when you can walk into the world, no matter where you are, keep your heart open, and everyone can feel it, or those that are meant to will feel it. I'll tell you a story. Last night, I went into the local Walgreens, and this beautiful blonde woman, older lady, but very radiant, looked at me and said, "I have to thank you." And I said, "Now, what is she going to thank me for?" I didn't remember. And she said, I said, "What is it?" Well, she said, "When you check out, I'll tell you later." And she said that I had, hold on a second, come in there a month ago, and I looked at her, and I said, I didn't even know who she was. She didn't know who I was. And she was like, she had the qualities of being an Elohim soul in this realm. I've learned to recognize those qualities. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, I think you're from another dimension. Did you ever think of that?" And she looked at me, and beautiful love was pouring out of her. And she said, "You know what, I did think of that." And I don't think she ever shared it with anyone. You know, people feel that way, and they don't talk about it. It sounds too crazy. So I told her, "You should go to my website and look at my video and then read my book if it resonates." And so now I said, "So what did I do? I had no memory of that." And she said, "Well, I went to your website. Remember, you were here last time. You told me to go to your website. I read your book. And then they visited me afterwards. They came into the room. I could feel their energy." And I said, "Oh." And I said, "You got to start coming to our conference calls." But you see, that's an example of unconditional love. Not exactly. I felt the energy. I felt the love. And then I said something to ground it. And I was correct. Another really good story is years ago, I was living in Pomona, California. And it was about 30 miles from L.A. And I was going to the post office. And it was somewhere near Christmas time. And there was this down-and-out black fellow standing out in front of the post office asking for money. And I looked at him and I said, "If you expect people to give you money, you got to be happier." And so I took a dollar out of my pocket. I said, "Listen, I'm giving you a lucky dollar. Put it in your back pocket. Don't spend it, and use it to bring more money in." I went into the post office and I forgot all about it. Again, a month later, I'm going to the same post office and I don't even remember this incident. I mean, and the same guy was there, but I didn't recognize him. In fact, he looked better. He didn't look so down and out. He saw me walking into the post office, and he ran up to me, and scared me, and hugged me, and said, "I just want to thank you. You know, you gave me that dollar, remember? And I followed what you said, and that night I took in like $30, and I've been making money hand over fist ever since." Well, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson. I can't give you all a dollar, but I can give you a psychic dollar right now. Learn that principle. Go out and Give somebody 50 cents. Send us a dollar. Give some money away totally freely with no attachment. Put all your love into it. Do it every day, a little bit. Even though you're low on money, see if you can't change your pattern around. You can't do it to change your pattern. You have to do it as an act of love. If you do it as an act of love, it starts to change your pattern. If you do it because you're going to say, God, show me, change my pattern, give me the money, won't work, okay? I mean, if you're going to send us $2, and I really appreciate all those people that send us $2, don't think in your mind, I'm going to send them $2 and all this great stuff is going to happen to me. I'm going to send it to him because I love what he does. And he comes on and he cheers me up and he's unrelenting and I'm feeling uplifted. And I'm going to send love back to him in $2. And that's the way to do it. That's the way you change your patterns. You do things, random acts of kindness, there's that famous saying. And here I am talking. And Terry, are you there? Well, unmute yourself, Terry. Hello, Terry.
I'm here, yes.
You're there. So now I've hogged all this time, and we can go a little over because there's no show coming on after me. That's pretty complete. I did a pretty complete thing. It didn't leave anything hanging. But you feel you feel that there's something to offer from their side on this concept of unconditional love?
You know what? I found something on the internet that people can go look at. It's pretty interesting. And it's connected with the heart chakra. And that when the heart chakra is open, then the people become balanced and they're sincere and happy, and there's a strong connection to life, and they have a compassion and willingness to help, and they feel peaceful and balanced, and they feel loving. And the heart chakra is connected to the sound of F. F is in Frank, the musical note F. The heart chakra resonates with the musical note of F, and the colors of the heart chakra are green and alternately pink.
Well, one of the reasons that, you know, there's this Indian idea. People all have heard the word mantra, but if you say a mantra, it gets you back to God. And so people say, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, or they say different words. You know, one of the things about sound is that different sounds resonate in your body. And if you want to open up the energies in a given area of your body, if you make a sound that resonates in that area, it helps to start open the energy. It doesn't have to do with anything woo-woo. I mean, it is. Everything is woo-woo, ultimately. If we're on this show, it's woo-woo. But the idea of using sound to open up an energy is something anyone can do. So what is one of the most famous sounds? Om. Om. Let's look at Om. If you take Om apart, forget about any religious significance or anything like that. Notice if you do Om, it starts out Om, it's down in your solar plexus. It goes Om as it goes up. Om. And the Om starts to vibrate towards the top of your head. So you have a sound that goes Om. Om. And if people do that for long periods of time, even if they do it with another person, they start opening the energies up. You know, the whole Hare Krishna. Remember the guy who said everyone should sing Hare Krishna? Same principle. But you know what? There's no wisdom in that. You still need the wisdom to get the discernment to figure it out. But you can start learning how to move energy. You can do that sound. And when you're finished, you may find You've created some radiant energy in your heart.
There are some affirmations given here for the heart, and one of
listen, Jerry, I got to stop you. Okay, I know you're trying to help, but I don't think we should be reading other people's stuff on the internet. At least let me go over it first, or send it to me, and I'll send it out in an email to everybody if it passes the test. Okay, because you know, if we start that, then someone else will say this, and you know, it's not that I don't think it's good. I'm speaking right now from my experience. If you speak from your experience, in other words, if you had an affirmation and you used it, then you could tell it. But I'm talking about OM because I've done that. But if you're just reading it off the internet for the first time and you haven't used it, I don't trust sharing that with other people.
Well, it kind of went along with Monday night talking about worthiness. And like one of the affirmations is, I love who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's what I have to say.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll tell you the truth. I have read affirmations, and I have never made them work for me. And they sound good, but I've never made them work. I've got a big praying mantis sitting here on my desk. Hi, guy. I wish I had a video. I'd zoom in on him. So, you know, unless I've made something work for myself, I prefer not to recommend it to other someone else. Does that make sense? You know,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, I'm afraid of underlying agendas and everything, and including me and you. So I'm really tough on all of this stuff. So in any case, all right, I think we're complete. We don't have to do a channeling session on this.
There wasn't enough time.
Yeah, I mean, we could stay on for a long time, but I think I covered it fairly well, and I hope that helps some of you. And I do know OM works, so I do know that. And if you're on our Sunday call, I did that guttural sound to get your third chakra open, and I know that works. And as long as people aren't thinking you're crazy, when you go someplace where you can put a pillow over you. But the bottom line is each of you is on a path. Each of you is on a trajectory. Each of you is on creating a future. And the future gets created by now. So everything you add to yourself in the now, right now, starts to change your future trajectory. And, you know, every Sunday we do this incredible healing meditation. And, I mean, I got an email. See, I don't know what's going on. I'm sitting here in a little room, and I say these things. And then I get an email from someone that says how much they released. Thank you for the person that sent that. I forget his name. But he went through a releasing of his rage towards his father. And he started crying, and he let it go. Part of this whole process is letting go of the baggage you carry that is blocking you from letting something in. You can only fit something in as you start emptying it. And one of the things I can tell you is that we're afraid to empty stuff because what if nothing comes in? What if we're just left empty? Well, I'm telling you that it will work. It does work. As you start to empty yourself, new things do come in. And if you're aiming for higher things to come in, you get the energy that you're always looking for. But you have to apply yourself. You have to apply yourself. Don't think it's just going to happen by magic because the Elohim is there or Wynn said so. It's got to be your personal experiment with yourself to change your track. And I would suggest that everyone listening to these calls and reading our materials has an unusual opportunity to advance their spiritual evolution. And that doesn't mean that we're the only one. It's probably one of the few things that's available for free on the internet that has such high sources attached to it. And if it works for you, it's great. And if it doesn't, then, you know, maybe you're one of those people that need to be in a room with a bunch of people and they need, you know, you need to go to weekend workshops and you know, find what works for you, but you've discovered us, so try to make the best of it. And I'm going to say good night to everybody, and I wish Terry, you can say good night to everybody.
Yeah, good night, everybody, and love to feel your energy on the line.
And for those of you, many of you are wondering, where is Daphne? Daphne, like, had to retreat for a while. It was just too much doing all this channeling. I'm sure she'll be back. And let's send her all loving energy. And if any of you send me an email that says how much you appreciate her, I will forward it to her. And I know that will make her feel good, okay? Because it's hard for her. She's very, very sensitive. She picks up all the energies around her. When she's channeling it on these lines, she picks up the energies of everyone, of all of you. And, you know, she has a hard time processing it. I feel those energies, and I have more experience processing it, which is why it's easier for me. But she's like a little crystal chandelier, and that it falls apart for her really easily. And so she's regrouping. So thank you all. Thank you all for being here. And thank you, Terry. Thank you, Daphne. Thank everyone who's volunteering. And we'll see you Wednesday when you get a chance to submit questions.
And unmuted.
Muted.
Thank you, Wynn. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you,
Terry.
Good night,
Daphne.
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Brothers
love
and sisters, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Your conference recording has stopped.